Our way through the book of 1 John. It's been a good study. I have enjoyed it, learned some things that I didn't know before, and God has brought some things to light that I didn't see before, and that always happens once you start studying the Bible and start reading the Bible. The Lord brings things to your attention that you may not have known before, didn't realize. And so God is always good to us. 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 11 to 18. 11 to 18. And the subject this evening is going to be about love. It's going to be about love. And that is a very prominent subject in the book of 1 John. We have looked at it already a couple of times as we've gone through this book. And today, this evening, we're going to look at it again. And The way that we're going to look at it this evening is love for brothers and sisters in Christ. Love for brothers and sisters in Christ. And not only just love, but true love. You know, a lot of people have misconceptions about what love is. They think it's some kind of a feeling or something that you say or something like that. But there is such a thing as true love. And so we want to look at true love for others. You can apply this to not only your brothers and sisters in Christ, you can apply this to people that you know, people that you work with, your neighbors, anybody that you know. Christians ought to be people who love. We must be people who love. We must be people who, that's what characterizes Christianity, is love. And so I know that I am lacking in love. I can love people more than I do right now. I can show people that I love them more than I do right now. So I'm failing at this. And so everyone needs to love others more. And it's probably a subject that gets overlooked quite a bit in Christianity. And so it is very needful for us here at Grace Fellowship Baptist Church. And so we want to look at true love for others. Before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. We're thankful that we can be here this evening. As we always tell you, Lord, we're thankful that you love us and that you take care of us and that you watch over us. We're thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're thankful for your word and for your Holy Spirit. God, we pray that you would lead us and guide us and direct us this evening. Show us what we need to know. Help us to learn something from your word. I pray that you would draw us closer to you. I pray that you would illuminate our minds and open up our ears for these next few moments. And I pray that the Word of God would do something in our lives and it would change our lives and mold us and make us and shape us into what you want us to be. Well, thank you for it, Lord. We love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 11. He says, "For this is the message which ye have heard from the beginning, that ye should love one another." That phrase ought to be very familiar with you because we looked at it in the previous chapter, chapter number 2. The message that you heard from the beginning is that you should love. That's the basic foundation of Christianity. And he says, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." You know, when we started out this year, we picked out John 13:35 as our verse for the year for our church, and it is this. It says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Love for your brothers and sisters in Christ is the defining characteristic of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, then you will have love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And this theme of love, this subject of love, is a reoccurring theme in the book of 1 John. We looked at love in 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 to 10. We looked at love in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, and what we should not love. We looked at it that way. We looked at 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3 at the beginning of this chapter, and we looked at God's love for us and the manner of love that He has for His children. And as a result of the love that God has for us, then it changes our life. We have a hope now. And since we have that hope, then we purify ourselves and we live holy, righteous, godly lives before Him because we know that He's coming back one of these days and we live a pure life because Jesus Christ is coming back. And so love is something that reoccurs over and over and over in the book of 1 John because it is the principal thing. It is the foundation of Christianity. And so we want to look at that again tonight, at love for the brethren. John mentions love for our brothers in Christ, but I'm sure that he means sisters as well. So ladies, you're not off the hook. You have to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. That word brothers there is probably just a general term that John is using, and we can include sisters there. So sisters, you are also obligated to love as well. So if a child of God is going to live in holiness, the all-encompassing characteristic of holiness is love. Love. If you and I want to live in complete and total holiness, we must love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We must love our neighbors as ourselves. And you could say all people, but love is the summation of the Old Testament law. That encompasses the whole thing. Love for others. And encompass Christianity too. All about love. And so John is giving us a warning against hating your brothers and sisters in Christ. He's giving you an exhortation to love others and an example of how to display that love. How are you and I going to love our brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, John is going to give us an example of how that we ought to love. And he shows us an example in these verses here of two brothers that hated each other. Or not hated each other, but one hated the other, and he hated him so bad that he killed him. That's Cain and Abel. He says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Now, what is Cain known for? Cain is known for killing his own brother, Abel. And he says, he was of that wicked one. What does that mean? Well, that means that the devil was his spiritual father. And the reason that he killed his brother was because he hated his brother and he murdered him in cold blood. He was the first. You find the first two brothers right there, Cain and Abel. And then you see the first murderer, and that's Cain. And Cain lifted up his hand against Abel, and he killed him because he was jealous and because he was envious. And because Abel had brought the sacrifice that was required. And Cain did not do that. He brought the fruit of the ground. He brought some vegetables that he had made. And there was no blood in those vegetables. And God said you had to bring a sacrifice with a blood in it, a lamb. You can't bring a bloodless sacrifice to have your sins taken care of. Do you know a lot of people are doing that today? They're trying to bring a sacrifice for their sins, but they don't have no blood in it. It's a bloodless sacrifice. You got to have a bloody sacrifice if you want to get your sins forgiven. You got to go to the cross. You got to go to Jesus Christ. You got to go to where some blood has been shed, and that's a bloody sacrifice. But Cain wasn't doing that. Cain is going to bring some vegetables. So he got upset, he got envious, and he says, I'm going to kill Abel because I hate him. He hated his brother. And John says, don't be like him. Don't be like Cain. He hated his brother and he killed him. There's another man who got killed for the exact same reason, the New Testament. His name is Jesus Christ. His brothers hated him because he was more righteous than they were, and they lifted up their hands to him, and they put him on a tree, and they sacrificed him, and they killed him, and he died. But we cannot be like those who hate their brothers. We find that in verse number 13. Well, he says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. They hated Jesus Christ. They're going to hate you. Amen. So don't be surprised when they do hate you. But then you can't turn around and be like the world and hate other Christians, because then you'd be just like the world. There'll be no difference between you and the world. So what about a Christian who hates his brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, the Bible says he does not have eternal life abiding in him. That's what the scriptures say right here. So we cannot be like the world. We cannot hate our brothers and sisters in Christ. Hateth means to detest or persecute. And that's what Cain did. He detested his brother. And he's going to persecute him. He hated him so bad, he was going to kill him. You and I can't be that way. We cannot hate our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the Bible says that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You say, what about David? Well, David killed somebody. Yeah, but David repented. And Cain did not repent. He went right on. He was not sorry for what he did. So you and I cannot hate our brothers and sisters in Christ. Or others. We must love. We must love. So we want to look tonight at three qualities required for true love for others. What's real love look like? Is there some kind of actions that go along with love, or is it just some kind of feeling or some kind of this or that? No, love actually does something. It actually does something. So what does love do? Well, number one, love has eyes to see. It has eyes to see. We find that in verse number 17. Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need. True brotherly love has eyes to see the needs of others. We must have eyes to see the needs of others. You and I cannot be self-focused and self-centered all the time. We have to take our eyes off of ourselves and look at others and see what they might need. Because true love has eyes to see. Now, Cain could not see how his rebellion was affecting his relationship with God. Cain could not see how his rebellion was affecting his relationship with his brother and how it was affecting his spirit and how he raised up his hand against his brother. He didn't have eyes to see those kind of things. The only thing that Cain was worried about was himself. Boy, that sure did hurt my ego. That sure did hurt my feelings, because God didn't accept me, but he accepted Abel's sacrifice. He didn't have eyes to see. He was completely blind. And so true love looks at the needs of others and they see their needs. I was thinking about the eyes of Jesus Christ and how did he see others. When Jesus Christ looked at people, how did Jesus Christ see others? Did Jesus Christ look upon them and say, well, these people sure are a big nuisance, man. I wish they would just leave me alone. I've had enough of this stuff. Just leave me alone. Go on your way. I don't care about you. I don't care about your needs. Just go on. Was that the way that Jesus Christ looked at others? No, I don't think so. Or did he see them as poor and broken in spirit and someone who needed something? Is that the way that Jesus Christ looked? Well, I believe that Jesus Christ saw the true needs of others. I'm sure that everyone here is familiar with the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark chapter number 6. But in Mark chapter number 6, we have a great illustration of two different views. One of those views was Jesus Christ looking at people in a certain way. And the other illustration is his disciples, and they had a certain view too. But it wasn't the same kind as Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ looks out at the multitudes, more than 5,000 people out there, and he had been speaking to them and talking to them, and he looks out upon them, and he sees them as having a sheep, not having a shepherd. And he looks upon them, and he says, I have compassion upon these people. Well, he felt something for those people. And you know what? As a result of Jesus Christ and his view of those people, he decided to start teaching them. He says, but I need to teach them something. I need to tell them something. I need to take care of them. I have compassion upon these people. And as the day wore on, Jesus Christ is talking to them all day. It's getting late. And the disciples are watching this and they're saying, it's getting kind of late, Jesus. He says, the disciples go up to Jesus and they say, look, Jesus, send them away. Send them away. They need to go into town, get something to eat. They need to take care of themselves. Look, they need to do something with themselves. This is getting a little bit late here. And Jesus, you know what his response was? No, you feed them. You give them something to eat. No, you take care of them. And so when the disciples see the people, they see a nuisance. They see people who really need to just take care of themselves. Look, we don't have time for these people right now. Look, Jesus, send them away. Send them out to the villages and find something to eat because these people are really starting to get under our skin. It's time to go home. It's getting late. And so the disciples didn't have the same vision that Jesus Christ had for those people. They didn't have the same burden. They didn't have the same love or the same heart for the people like Jesus did. And Jesus Christ says, no, look, stop. Wait a minute. You give them something to eat. Don't send them away. Look at their needs, and you need to provide their needs. You know, the perspective of our Maker is a lot different than ours many times. Many times we don't have eyes to see. We don't have eyes to see the needs of others the way that our Maker does because He has an acute awareness of the needs of others and He has the eyes to see. And we don't have the eyes to see. But can I tell you something here this evening? That true love sees the needs of others. And the disciple says, hey, we don't want to deal with that. Send them home. There's too many. How are we going to take care of them? We don't have the food to feed these people. But yet Jesus Christ said, well, I've got a way. We can feed them. We can take care of them. Don't send them away. I have eyes of compassion for these people. You know, many times we don't have those eyes of compassion. Many times I don't have the eyes of compassion the way that I ought to. Do we ever look at the people sitting next to us in the pew and think, well, I wonder if they're going through something right now. I wonder if they're hurting right now. I wonder what they're going through in their life. I wonder if perhaps they could be discouraged right now. I wonder if they're dealing with some kind of sadness or some kind of depression or they're dealing with some kind of thing in their life. Do we ever think of that? We ever look on people in that way and think, I wonder what's going on in their life. I wonder if they're dealing with some kind of anger or frustration. I wonder what struggles they're going through in their life. I just wonder, do we have those kind of eyes for people? Or do we think, man, I don't have time for that right now. You know, I'm dealing with my own problems right now, and I just don't have time to help somebody else. We don't see that maybe they could need a word of encouragement or they could need something in their life. We don't look at people that way, do we? I don't many times. Many times you just pass on by. We go on by and we think, well, they're fine. They'll be okay. We don't need to worry about these people right now. We can go on. And we don't think, well, maybe a text or a phone call or something. Say, hey, I'm praying for you. If you need anything, let me know. I've got you. Many times we don't have the eyes like that, do we? But true brotherly love has eyes to see. Do we really have eyes to see this evening? I must confess, many times I don't. And I need to have eyes to see. I need to open up my eyes and see, yes, people do need things, and I have something I might give them. I might have something that I could do to help them. Because true love, true brotherly love, not only has eyes to see, but it also has something to share. We find that in the next point. True love also has something to share. True brotherly love. We find that in verse number 17. But whoso hath this world's good, hath this world's good. Has God blessed you with something? Has God given you some blessings? Because it says, whoso hath this world's good. You're one of the whosos here this evening. Because not everyone is blessed the same way that you are or that I am. Some people get more blessings than others. God gives people more things sometimes than He does other people. Whoso hath this world's good. God, everything that you have, God has blessed you with. Many times we forget that. You know, I was talking to one of the kids during vacation Bible school, and I was talking about the mercy of God, and that was the theme of that week. And I said, look, God has been merciful to you. And one of the kids said, well, he's never been merciful to me. How's he been merciful to me? And I said, do you have a mom and dad? Well, yeah, there's that. Well, do you have a place to sleep tonight? Do you have some shoes? Do you have some clothes? Yeah, there's that. You see, we forget about all those things. We forget. We think mercy is some kind of big, grand thing that we can see, some kind of miracle where Jesus Christ is going to come down and do something. And no, it's the regular things of everyday life. That's what it is. God gives us parents. He gives us clothes. All of these things. And God gives some people more things than he does others. God doesn't bless everyone equally. I mean, you'd have to be a fool to look around at people and think, well, God blesses all people equally. No, he doesn't. God has blessed me differently than he has you. And God has blessed you differently than he has me. You might have a better house than me, or I might have a better house than you, cars, whatever it might be, health-wise, whatever it might be, but God has blessed us all differently and all uniquely, and he's done it for a specific purpose and reason. You know why? So we can all grow. That's why. And so I can use the things that I have to give to you, and you can use the things that you have to give to me, and vice versa, and everything else, and we can grow. Because if we were all the same and we didn't have anything to give, what kind of people would we be anyway? You ever think about that? Wow. But God blesses us differently. You know, God didn't bless me with a talent of singing. Nobody wants to hear me stand up here and sing a special. Not unless you want to hear your ears bleed. Better bring some earplugs along with you. I mean, I'll sing if you want me to, but I don't think you're going to want me to. God has not really blessed me with a talent of singing. I can sing with a group and make a joyful noise and all that just like everyone else can, but God has not blessed me with that. God hasn't blessed me with a desire to learn a musical instrument. But he has some people. Some people could play a musical instrument. Some people just have that natural talent. Some people have the drive and the desire, and they want to do that. But not that you have to be talented. I'm not saying that. But God has blessed us all differently. God has blessed some people with different health. And some Christians just squander their health. Well, they put stuff into their body they shouldn't put in. They put all kinds of toxins and junk food and all that. Smoking and all kinds of different stuff into their body, and what happens? Well, they squander their health, and they could have used years to serve God, but they didn't because they just ruined their health. God has given us that health. They have no self-control over the things that they eat, and they just die early, and they could have served God some more. And then you have some people who are in the hospital, and they have a desire to serve God. And they can't get out and do the things that they used to do, but bless God, they are praying, they are doing something, and they want to do something. But the point is, look, I'm going to use the things that God has given to us to share with others, because true brotherly love is sharing. What are you doing with the blessings God's given to you? What about the houses and the land, the money, the finances, your voice? Whatever it might be, are you using those things to share with others? Are you hoarding those things up? Like, what's mine is mine and you can't have it. No way. I ain't sharing nothing. What do you do with your time? Do you share it with others so you can be a blessing to others? Because true brotherly love shares. Are you willing to share? In the Old Testament, in the Holy Law of God, God commands his people to share. He does. He says, take care of the poor. You know how you take care of the poor? How God commanded his people in the Old Testament to take care of the poor? He says, if you got a crop out there with some crops in it, you go out there and you make a harvest, don't get the corners. Leave the corners. Don't get all the fruit off the corners. You leave the corners. And then if you're out there harvesting and you happen to drop some, or you leave some and there's still some left out there in the ground, leave it out there. Because there's some poor in the land and they need that. So let them go out there and you get the let them get the corners and pick up the leftovers. And that's how you show love to your brothers and sisters in Christ, by sharing. But yet, God's people here in the United States of America can be some of the most stingy people in the world. No, sir! I'm not putting any money in that offering plate. even though God commands us to do so. They're not going to share. I'm not going to give anything to my neighbors. I'm not going to worry about them. I'm worried about me, myself, and I. That's all I'm worried about. I'm not worried about anybody else. True brotherly love will share. Why are we prone not to share the things that we have? You know why? Because we forget. We forget. We forget that this world is not our home. We forget that this is just a temporal place. And we're going to go someplace to glory one of these days. You're going to have to leave all of that stuff behind. The writer of Hebrews says, we have no continuing city here, but we seek one to come. And you know what he said in light of that statement? He said, in light of that statement, be careful to communicate. Be careful to give. Be careful to share. Be careful to take care of other people around you and share. But some Christians think, well, I'm going to take everything to the grave. Taking my cars, taking my house, taking my land, taking my 401k, all my money's going with me. No, it's not. You're only a steward of the things that God has given to you. It's only temporal. What are you doing with it? You taking care of it? You know that principle is played out more and more in my life as I go on. Look, the house you have, you're only taking care of it for a little while. But one of these days, somebody else is going to own it. Right now, I'm just being a steward of it. My kids, well, they were mine for a little while. Now they're all grown, and I was a steward of them. It was just temporal. Yet we don't want to share. Because we forget that this is only temporal. True brotherly love shares. True brotherly love not only shares and not only sees, but it also sacrifices. You and I must sacrifice if we love. Nobody loves without sacrificing. No one. We find that in verse number 16. Hereby we perceive the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Hereby means, as a formal term, it means as a result of, or this is how we know something. How do you know you love, or how do you know that God loves you? Has he proved it to you? Has he demonstrated it to you? Has he showed you? He has. God demonstrated his love to you when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins and for my sins. But God commendeth. He demonstrated, he showed his love to you whenever he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross. Do you notice the wording? Hereby we perceive the love of God because he laid down his life. Who died on the cross? Jesus Christ did. You know who that was hanging on the cross? It was God. God was it. You got somebody that doesn't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ? There's a good verse right there to show them. He laid down his life. God did. God died for us. God is our Savior. He laid down his life. True love requires sacrifice. He's a loving God, and he wants us to know that. He wants to show us that it is real, true love. John chapter 10 says, I lay down my life for the sheep. And as a result of God laying down his life for us, we must lay down our life for the brethren. That means everyone in here, brothers and sisters in Christ. You willing to lay down your life for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you willing to sacrifice for them and share for them? Because true love requires sacrifice. How are we going to sacrifice? What are you talking about, Brother Jeff? How do we sacrifice for our brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, I thought of a couple of ways. One way that you can sacrifice for your brothers and sisters in Christ is to forgive. To forgive. Forgiveness is a sacrifice that you must make if you're a brother or sister in Christ. That's not something that you want to do. Somebody wrongs you, somebody does something against you, they took something from you, they insulted you, they offended you, they did something to you. And what do you want to do? Well, I'm going to get it back. I want justice. I want revenge. Because that wasn't right. They took from me. But you could forgive. But that means I've got to lose something else. That means I've got to give something else. I mean, they already took once. Now I've got to give it back. I've got to give more. Yeah, this is a sacrifice. Forgiveness is a sacrifice. Because you don't want to do that. No, you want to get back. But the Bible commands us to forgive. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 31 and 32. Chapter 4, verse 31 to 32, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking." You mean Christians can do all that stuff? Man. It says, "Be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another." We must forgive. "Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Look, forgiveness is not something that's owed. Forgiveness is something that is given. Given. Now, if we wanted what is owed to those who have offended us, it would be justice. But yet we can forgive and we can grant forgiveness to those people. That's laying down your life. That's laying down your ego or whatever it might be, but it's laying it down. Another way that we can lay down our lives to the brethren is forbearance. Man, that means having patience. Having patience and sticking in there. And not giving up and not throwing in the towel. It means self-control or tolerance or endurance. Because true love is going to be able to tolerate and endure. Anybody who's been in a marriage for any length of time knows you got to endure. You got to tolerate. You got to forbear. You got to do all these things. Colossians 3:13 says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any," that means forbearance. You willing to tolerate some things in your life? Are you one of those kind of people that, well, that's it. I'm done. First time they do that to me, that's it. I'm giving up. Not able to endure. I'm going to stop. You know what? One of these days, it might be you or it might be me that needs the forgiveness. It might be us that it's seeking the mercy and grace from somebody else. You know what we ought to do? Go ahead and forbear. Go ahead and forgive. We must tolerate their differences. We must put up with them. We must put up with their idiosyncrasies and their quirks and all of that. I'm not talking about compromising on truth, but I'm talking about, you know how people are different. People offend you or they do something to you. Look, just forbear. Forbear. Tolerate offenses. Suffer long. Now let me make this clear, okay? That doesn't mean that you keep toxic people in your life just because you're a glutton for punishment. Well, preacher said, I have to do this, so therefore I can't separate. No, you can forgive and then you can separate if somebody's harming you for the wrong reasons. I'm talking about different things here, but if somebody is intentionally hurting you, you know what the Bible says to do? They're intentionally offending you, rebuke them. And if they ask for forgiveness, then forgive them. But if they keep doing it, you can separate. That doesn't mean that you hate them. That means you're a smart person. So we must forbear. We must forgive. That's how we lay down our lives for the brethren. What about you here this evening? You say, well, I'm lacking in love for others. I don't have the love that I ought to have. I agree. I don't either. I could improve. I need to improve. What can we do? Well, one thing we can do is we can pray and ask God to give us eyes to see the needs of others. We can ask God to help us. Because you know what? God can help us to see the needs of others. He created the eye, He gives physical sight, and He can give you spiritual sight to see where you need to help. Amen. Ask God for eyes to see. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." God, I can't see right now the way I ought to see. So God, would you give me the eyes to see? How often do our prayers involve those kinds of prayers? I say I fall short. I don't ask God for eyes to see the way that I ought to. Proverbs 20:12 says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. So God can give us eyes to see the plight of others. Pray to God and ask Him to give you eyes to see. Number two, we can pray and ask God to give you a heart that is generous. You're not generous? Pray and ask God, Lord, help me to be generous. Ask God to change your heart, because only God can change a heart. You know, God can change a dirty heart from a clean heart. He can change a stingy heart into a generous heart. The psalmist again said in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God. God is the creator. There's nothing He can't do. There's not a heart that He can't change. And if you've got a problem, go to God and ask Him to help you to be generous. Number three, keep your eyes focused on the cross of Jesus Christ. Because the cross of Calvary is where you found forgiveness, wasn't it? And that's where I found forgiveness. And many times we have a hard time sacrificing. We have a hard time forgiving others. And that's where we find mercy. And that's where we find grace. And that's where we find forgiveness on a daily basis. When you go to the Lord in prayer, how do you pray? Do you go to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, based on your blood that was shed upon the cross, I ask you for forgiveness. I ask you for grace and I ask you for mercy. Boy, when you do that, it reminds you that you need to forgive others. And it fills your heart with mercy and with grace for other people. We remember that sacrifice. We remember the gospel. We remember to forgive and forbear others, because God has been so gracious and so good to us. How are we going to know if we pass from death to life? The Bible says, if we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd hope that each and every one of us renews our commitment to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, because that is the all-encompassing characteristic of Christianity. Love. It's love for brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's pray.